Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 23, and tonight we're going to be talking about Sarah. Ladies, here is a lady that you can look up to in many respects. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. 127 years old. These were the years of Sarah's life. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of the sepulchre, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee this sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth, and he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of the field. For as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in the gate of the city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee, bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spoke unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money, with a merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders around about, were made sure. And Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth before all that went into the gate of the city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same in Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, and I pray that you'll help us today. Lord, this simple truth and this chapter where we find Sarah's passing. And Father, I pray that we'll see the things that you would want us to see. Help us to understand the things that you would want us to understand. And I pray that the truths will be found. If someone's here tonight that's not sure of their salvation or listening way of internet or whatever, I pray that they'll trust you before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have three things that I want to point out about Sarah. And it is so simple. There's only so many things that you can get out of a chapter. And as we're going through it chapter by chapter, here's what I find. Number one, Sarah died. Sarah was 127 years old. That means Isaac was 37 years old. Because Sarah was 90 years old when she had Isaac, and Isaac was able to live with his mother for 37 years. When I see Sarah's death, I see Isaac's heartbreak. Isaac is 37. Sarah was old, but Isaac wasn't that old. I'm certain this hurt Isaac a great deal. I have found that no matter how old you lose a loved one, or how old the loved one is that you've lost, it's very seldom that you're ready to pass it on or give up or go on. I see Isaac's heartbreak. I'm sure, and there's not a lot here about Isaac's mourning, but I'm sure that Isaac was heartbroken. How could he not be? It was his mother. And even though she was 127, it's still hard to say goodbye. I remind people at funerals all the time, though, that a believer never says goodbye for the last time. They just say, I'll see you later. I'm thankful for that assurance. Tomorrow, when I preach the funeral for Francis, although I can't preach a funeral, I can only conduct one. When I conduct a funeral tomorrow for this lady, I will be able to give great comfort to those if they ever want to see her again. Because 3 weeks ago, on June the 28th, she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be her Savior. But I will also say today, there are some of you that are going to say goodbye, and there are some of you that are going to say see you later. And the decision is yours. And I'm thankful that here in this case, Isaac didn't have to say goodbye to Sarah. He just said, I'll see you later. But I'm certain he was heartbroken. And then I think about Abraham. We do have a little bit here. It says, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. That's natural. You know, the first time we meet Sarah, she's 65 years old. She's 62 years old. I do not know when Sarah and Abraham got married. I know that Abraham was 72 years old when God called him out of Hebron, and Sarah was therefore 62 years old. If Abraham and Sarah, 65 was right, when Abraham and Sarah got married, let's just say they got married at the age of 25. If they were to get married at the age of 25, that means they would have been married 102 years. I don't know what's after, what's 75, diamond? Is there a 75 marriage thing? 50's gold, right? No one's made it 75. We don't know. Well, good luck, somebody. There's 75 and then there's 100. I don't know if 100's double gold, platinum, maybe. I don't know. But Sarah and Abraham would have been 102 years of marriage if they were married at the age of 25. If they were married when we first meet them, when Sarah's 65, Abraham's 75, they would have been married still 62 years. Anybody in here been married 62 years? Anyone? We have some people that have been married quite a while. Anybody? How many of you have been married 50 years or more? How long have you been married, Fred and Joy? Huh? 52 years. Anybody? How about you, Pose? 60? Oh, so close. Sorry, you don't qualify, though. I'm just kidding. 61 years of marriage. Anybody else? All right. 61 years of marriage. Isn't that a blessing? 62 years of marriage if Abraham and Sarah were married at 65 and 75. My point is this. Abraham and Sarah were with each other for a really long time. And now you have a man, and sometimes we can read over a passage of Scripture quickly. And if we don't stop and think about what's going on and put ourselves in the shoes of maybe Abraham, we kind of miss maybe the heartache that he felt. Here's a man that had loved a woman for probably 100 years or more. And now he's saying, I'll see you later. He's not a young chick himself. His heart is hurting. The Bible even tells us that he goes and mourns Sarah, and the Bible tells us that he weeps for her. This shows a grieving heart, and a grieving heart shows love. When I preach a funeral for people, I tell them, especially if they're crying and they're having a hard time, I said, the tears shouldn't be a shame. That's a badge of honor. That just shows you how much you loved that person. The Bible specifically tells us that Abraham wept for Sarah. So when you have a loved one passing on, it's just natural for you to hurt, and it's natural for you to grieve and mourn. But remember, a believer doesn't grieve or mourn like those that have no hope. Because if you know Christ as your Savior and that loved one knows Christ as their Savior, you'll see him again. And it'll be a lot better than you could ever think. The second thing I want us to look at is I want us to look at Sarah being buried. You know, there's a good order here. Sarah died, Sarah buried. See, if it was Sarah buried and Sarah died, then we'd have a crime scene. But it's Sarah died, Sarah was buried. Told you it was simple. Abraham went to buy land. Abraham did his due diligence to examine the matter. He most likely had never met Ephron. And if you read the passage of Scripture, it comes to understanding that he never did know Ephron. He went to the city, the gate of Heth, and he talked to the council members there, the men of the city, and he said, listen, I would like for you to let me buy a parcel of land so that I can bury my dead. And they said, just tell us what you want, Abraham. You're absolutely welcome to do so. And then he says, I saw a cave on the end of this piece of land, and it belongs to a man by the name of Ephron. I'd like to buy his land. Ephron was in the audience. Abraham didn't know that. Ephron has stood up. He says, Abraham, you can have the land. Not only can you have the land, you can have the cave that's on the land as well. It's all yours. You don't owe me a thing. Abraham wanted to buy some land. He did his due diligence to find out who the land belonged to. I want you to know this. When I saw that, I thought, you know what? We need to do our due diligence when it comes to responsibilities as well. You know, it's not that he just chucked it up to somebody will figure it out. Abraham figured it out. Abraham did some study behind the scenes to find out who owned that cave and who found out who owned that land. And sometimes we just expect God just to drop things in our laps when God expects you and me to do a little due diligence. We need to be a little bit more due diligent in our efforts of doing things. And then we see Ephron wanted to give it to him. I find his generosity pleasing. It was his land. He had the right to say no. It was definitely his cave. And if it was such a nice cave on a nice piece of property, you probably think that maybe Ephron had vision someday of burying his dead there. So I find Ephron's generosity very, very appealing. He's a Hittite. There's another Hittite in Scripture that you'll study down the road. His name was Uriah. Also a noble man. We don't know much about Ephron, but we know he was a Hittite. We know that he wanted to give this land. And Abraham says, no, I won't take it. I won't accept it unless I pay for it. This reminds me of two things. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says this, owe no man nothing, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I like what Matthew Henry said about this passage of Scripture. Christians must avoid useless expense and be careful not to contract any debts they have not the power to discharge. In the society that we live in today, there's a lot of debt. As a matter of fact, the majority of us in here have some sort of debt. If you are free of debt, you are a very blessed person and a very wise person. If you can help it, get out of debt. It would be okay for you to do your due diligence and figure out how you can, especially if you're my age or younger, to figure out how you could be debt-free. Your biggest income, young person, is the money that you earn every week in a job, not some stock market that you're putting faith and hope in that'll be there someday down the road. Your greatest income is what you get paid every week for your work. And if you can take that money and you can save it and properly put it away, then it is very unlikely that by the time you're in your 60s or 70s, you won't be a millionaire. Highly unlikely. Sounds crazy, but it's true. Most of us didn't do that, though, so most of us will never get there. But if you can start at a young age to be debt-free, the Bible says, owe no man nothing. I am servant to the person that loaned me money. I'm servant. Nathan Barker's a slave. I'm a slave to a couple of banks. I say I bought a house. That's not true. I am buying a house. The bank owns my house. And when I'm 73, there's a good chance Nathan will own that house. Owe no man nothing if you can help it. That has been something that has been a thorn in my flesh for a long time. Years ago, I don't know how many years ago, my wife and I quit using credit cards. We don't use credit cards, haven't used credit cards in years. If you can control credit card, great. Most people can't. It incurs debt. Debt incurs problems. Number one reason why most people break up in marriages is because of financial stress. Marriages usually split up. Number one reason is financial stress. So if you can help to owe no man nothing. You know, if Abraham would have been given this piece of property for the rest of Abraham's life and the rest of Abraham's children's lives and the rest of Abraham's children's children's lives, this man, Ephron, and his children and his great-grandchildren would have had something over Abraham. And God didn't want Abraham to be indebted to anyone. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have debt. That's not what I'm saying. Unfortunately, we live in a society that you almost, if you're going to have a house or a car, no one has $30,000 sitting in the bank account typically to buy a car. And if you're not going to have a car, you could always get a junkier car, I suppose. That would probably be a wiser thing. I was doing some math the other day. I think that the vehicles that my wife and I own, if we add them all together, we equal about 750,000 miles. We're almost in the million-mile club. When it comes to our cars, if I could just hold on to those vehicles for a little bit longer. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28 says this. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give it when thou hast it by thee. That's saying this. Let's say I have somebody come over and mow my grass this week. And by the way, I'm going to ask somebody to come over and mow my grass this week. And when they get done mowing my grass, and if I happen to be there and I get done mowing my grass and I have the money in my wallet to pay them, I shouldn't say, hey, come back next week and I'll pay you. That's what the Bible says. When thou hast it by thee. Saying, if you can pay your debt, pay your debt. And so these things are scriptural principles. I want to see this, Sarah's death, Sarah's burial, and then I just want to recap Sarah's life, so I want to see Sarah remembered. Sarah was a beautiful woman at the age of 65. We can see that in Genesis chapter 12. When they first went to Egypt, the king of Egypt looked at Sarah and said, she's good looking. Even when she was 80, she was a sight to behold. God kept her youthful because He was going to use her to have a child at the age of 90. So I see that she was a beautiful person. I think she was probably a beautiful person on the outside and a beautiful person on the inside. I do believe that a person that is beautiful on the inside, it usually radiates to the outside. She was protective of her child. She had a child at the age of 90, and she loved Isaac, and she was super protective of that child. As a matter of fact, when Ishmael was making fun of Isaac, for whatever reason, Ishmael was making fun of his younger brother, she, loving her son and protecting her son so much, had Abraham kick the other family members out of the house. I don't know that she was right in doing that, but I do know that she was a protective mother. I'm thankful for mothers that are protective. Unfortunately, sometimes we have mothers that protect from the wrong things. We have mothers that protect their children from godliness. I mean, they'll protect them from going to church or doing the right thing. And don't be a mother that protects your child from godliness, but be a mother that protects your child, mother. Be a mother that protects a child from someone that can harm. I like it. There's something about a mother's instinct, a mother's care, and a mother's love that a father just doesn't have. When my kids stub their toe, or they get sick, or they get hurt, I'm kind of like, rub some dirt on it, kid. The bone's not protruding. Go back and play. My wife, on the other hand, she will want to make sure that they're okay. She'll want to take them to the doctor. She'll want to take them to the emergency room. She'll want to do different things. I don't like my children getting hurt, but my wife, she really cares and wants her children to be protected. I see Sarah was a devoted wife to her husband. She made some mistakes, there's no doubt about it, but she wanted to please him, and she wanted to keep him safe. Every mistake that she made, every sin that she committed, when it comes to the area of Hagar, was for Abraham. She looked at Abraham and realized Abraham didn't have a child, and she didn't think that she could have a child in old age, and so she saw to it that she was going to fix that. When she lied, the two times that she lied to keep Abraham safe. Not to keep her safe, to keep Abraham safe. And I appreciate her devotion to her husband and the love that she had towards him. I do not appreciate some of the tactics, neither did God. Wives, be devoted to your husband. And then I see that God used her to birth his nation Israel. Sarah was a blessed lady. And here we find Sarah being buried. And while we look at this and we see the things that took place behind the scenes with her life, we see a husband that loved her. We see a husband that did his due diligence to make sure that he owed no man nothing. And we look at Sarah and we see a mother, a wife, someone that was devoted not only to her husband, but to God, and God used greatly. Ladies, this is someone that you can look up to. We have a lot of men in the Bible that we could look up to, men as heroes, but Sarah could be a lady that you could look up to that God saw something very special in. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, God used Sarah to see to it that there was a lineage, and in that lineage was Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, born, so that he could die on the cross for your and my sin. And if you've never put your faith and trust in him, I pray that you'll do that tonight. I did not preach a salvation message, but there's always salvation available. And then, if you are saved, you know, mothers, love your children. Protect your husband. Protect your children. Protect your marriage. That's a good thing. Men, do right by your family. Don't get yourself in such strapping debt that you are indebted to everybody and you struggle. Work hard to get out of it. Do your due diligence not to owe any man anything. That means you have to study a little bit. You might have to figure out, maybe have to take a second job to figure out how to get your family out of debt. That would be just fine. But do your due diligence, because you are someone that should be protecting your family as well.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.